Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I wanted to talk, as we come to the end of our first hour, about different things that happen to us in life. And, so many times people are tempted to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. I know, Pat, this is not something that you... I'll just look at this direction to Chris. Chris, I'll just look at you, because we know he doesn't have this. He doesn't battle with this thing at all, but we'll just look at Chris right now. But so many times people are tempted, right?
Yeah.
To defend themselves, and they just don't want to be wrong. Wronged or mistreated. I mean, really, who wants to be wronged or mistreated anyway? Mm-hmm. But sometimes you fall into a temptation where... becomes argumentative. It comes to the point of defending. People don't want to lose face, if you will. They don't want to lose face. They don't want to be brought down low. And which really, I mean, you think about that, is to be brought low means that you were actually up high. If you stay low, you won't have to be fearful of being brought low.
You don't have far to fall.
Yeah. Isn't that a good thing? But if you stay low, you don't have to be worried about being brought low. Right. If you stay low, you can... we're supposed to be. They don't want to be the lesser in any situation. They don't want to be the one that is disadvantaged. Don't want to be the lesser role, the lower role. Mm-hmm. They certainly don't want to be taken advantage of, or even the perception of being taken advantage of. And what we find in the book of Acts is where Stephen is actually testifying to the Sanhedrin. Stephen is letting it rip. And Acts 7, some 6, 7, and 8. Mm-hmm. And he's just sharing the truth, And in this, Acts 6, 9 says that opposition arose from the members of the synagogue. Let me tell you something. When you tell the truth, not everybody's going to be happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, not everyone's going to be, as Phil Roberson says, happy, happy, happy. And Doug Dynasty, right? Not everyone's going to be happy. Because they don't want to hear the truth. They just don't want to hear the truth. Well, these men began to argue with Stephen, the Word of God says, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. You see, sometimes people will try to raise their tongue against you, and they'll try to speak against maybe in particular what God's called you to do, or God's told you to do, or what God's told you to say, and they're trying to wrap their carnal mind around the spiritual thing that God has said to do.
Right.
That never works. Mm-mm,
No.
That's a recipe for disaster. And they were offended by the truth. They were offended by the truth that Stephen was sharing. And listen, the truth offends... and we talked about this last week. The truth offends anyone that's not interested in the truth. The truth is offensive for those that try to hide from the truth, that try to cover the truth, that don't want nothing to do with the truth. It's offensive because it points out what they're doing is dead wrong.
Right.
And in Acts 7:54, when they heard this, they were furious. They were furious with Stephen. Like, who are you to be saying this? Who are you? Just listen, I don't know. God just told me. Who are you? They were furious, and they gnashed their teeth at him. Come on now. You know that they had to be upset.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be upset. And then, Chris, they began stoning Stephen. Can you imagine? Here's Stephen just... telling them the truth, tell them the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what was that? I just felt something at my shin. You know what I'm saying? My right kneecap.
Right.
And you're being stoned. Stoned. Let me tell you something. Humility is speaking the truth in love, even at the risk of personal loss to you. That's huge.
Yeah.
Because you're trusting God. When your life is in the hands of the Lord, no defense is needed. No defense is needed. Because you can trust Him. You can trust them. Pride causes one to bow up and feel they're entitled to defend themselves. And that's something. It's like, yeah. What'd you say? Or,
yeah.
You know, you cut me off. Or,
what you talking about, Willis?
What you talking about, Willis? I mean, how could you? The nerve, the gall, the audacity to say something to
you. Ain't talking about me.
But think about it. You know, someone would say, well, it's just natural to defend yourself. It's natural in the flesh and in the carnal nature to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that side is natural. But are we supposed to live in the flesh, or we are supposed to live in the spirit?
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, I mean, you see this a lot. You know, people want to defend themselves to argue a point. How many needless arguments are there where people will fight tooth and nail to prove themselves right instead of just being wrong, mm-hmm, or misunderstood, to defend their point of view? It's like, sir, does that really matter? Are you willing to go down to the mat on this one? You know what I'm saying? It's like, right. Are you willing to go down to the mat to defend that point of view, which is really only an opinion, maybe, not even fact? But even if it was the fact or the truth, why are we even arguing? If it's the truth, it's the truth. If it's the truth, it's the truth. Why would we need to argue that? Why would we need to go down to the mat, mm-hmm, and make someone say uncle to make them see what we think is correct? How about defending a reputation? Like, oh my goodness. You have one? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You have one to defend?
Right.
You
know? Is it like, that good?
Yeah, I'm like, hey, you know, that's, you know, I'll leave that one alone. Yeah, like, right. Really? Beliefs. Knowledge. You know, it's like knowledge puffs up. Why would we want to do that? Even trying to defend God. Listen, let me tell you something. God doesn't need no defending. God's truth stands alone. When all this happens, we got to realize that what's happening in our life is that we're moving in a spirit of pride. Mm-hmm. Pride has taken a hold of us, and it's consuming us to the point that it's gotten all into our fiber, and we're just going nuts on this thing. And it's like, wait a minute, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. When we come back after this, in the extra hour, we're going to be talking more about how we don't have to defend ourselves. Listen, when your life is in the hands of the Lord, when God's got your back, when the Heavenly Father is your Father, no personal defense is needed because He's got your back. There's no need to defend ourselves when our life is in the hands of the Lord. If you're a Christian and you receive the Lord, let me tell you something. God's got your back, your front. That circle that just went around you, that was God. The Bible says that His favor surrounds you like a shield. Listen, if God has you and you are His son and His daughter, then He's got you. Mm-hmm. He's got you. You don't need to defend yourself. If God is on the scene, and let me tell you, He is. We talked about, where is God? He's here, there, and everywhere. And He has your back. He has your situation. And even when things look like you're being taken advantage of and you're being mistreated and you're done wrong, let me tell you something. Nothing escapes the eyes of the Lord. His eyes are always upon you, and you don't have to worry about it. Let me tell you, if you suffer for Christ, you're doing good. Mm-hmm. It'll be credit to your account. It's good. God's looking at that. But it's when we kind of step out in the flesh, if you will, and find that need to respond to the temptation to defend ourselves, and you move in a carnal nature, a sinful nature, mm-hmm, and all of a sudden you're trying to defend a point. What's the point of that? So you were right, but now you have an enemy. You know, you won the argument. You won. Mm-hmm. But now there's a rift in your family. There's a rift in your marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you won. But now the whole office hates you.
Mm-hmm. What did it cost you?
What did it cost you to win? What did it cost you to be righteous? What did it cost you? And listen, beliefs, knowledge, all that stuff, knowledge puffs up, but we can trust the Lord. We don't want to move in pride. We want to move in humility. And your flesh is supposed to submit to your spirit, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. When your flesh tries to rise up, you gotta bring that bad boy down. Say, not today, Joker. Get back. Get back. You know? Because you want to do the right thing. I mean, remember T.D. Jakes just say there's two of them inside of me. If I'm not careful, the wrong one may get out. Get back in there. He does it so much better. But arguing and defending, why not just be wrong? I mean, that's a new concept. Why not just be wrong? Or wronged. And this is Stephen's response, as all he's doing is sharing the truth with the Sanhedrin. All he's doing is doing what God's told him to do. And they were offended with him. His thank you for sharing the truth is because he begins to be stoned. Now, if anyone will be offended, I mean, when was the last time? I mean, maybe he could be upset with the fact that somebody is stoning him for sharing what he's supposed to be sharing. But no, this is Stephen's response in Acts 7:59. It says, while they were stoning him, that means each stone, one on the head, one on the knee, one on the side, one in the face. Talk about a slow and painful death. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. Not, Lord, please stop them. Not, Lord, please take the pain away. Not, Lord, oh, deliver me. This is what Stephen prayed. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. He died. Mm-hmm. Don't hold this sin against them. I mean, my goodness, I feel challenged. I feel, oh my goodness. This, look at Stephen's response. Mm-hmm. He it wasn't like the sons of thunder. Can you burn down some fire on these guys here? I did what you told me to do. Right. Can you get rid of them here? Can you open the ground? I know you did in Korah's rebellion. You can do something with God. You can do anything. But what he prayed was, my goodness, do not hold this sin against them. We're really growing in a level of maturity when we can begin to start praying for those that are hurting us and wronging us and are doing things the wrong way. And because we want to respond right in, you know, before God, and we want to have the right perspective, and we want to do things that glorify the Lord, we can really grow when we really begin to start praying for the one that's being used to do what's wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says that they've been taken captive to do his will. You know, people can be taken captive. That's just a reality of it. Don't be surprised. One day they're free, one day they're not.
Yeah, right.
One day they're hitting you with rocks, the next day they're kissing you on the cheek. It's that one. I mean, if Jesus could have a Judas, I mean, why would we be surprised? The question is, how do we make it through those trials? How do we make it through those times? We could, you know, react, and normally that's a bad thing, right? We can respond. Mm-hmm. And respond often takes you know, prayer, takes grace.
Right.
It takes a pause.
Right. That's why James says, be slow to speak.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Slow to become angry.
Mm.
Which means take a pause before you open your mouth.
Yeah.
Stick your foot in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, how often do we do that, though?
Yeah, because man's anger does not bring the righteous life that God requires. And you get so caught up, it's like, why are you angry? You know, that's a great, you know, source that thing back. Source. The anger is a secondary feeling. I mean, what happened before you got angry? Circle that thing back. Find the source of that, and you'll find that you got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes humility to admit that that hurt me. That what was said, or to admit that I was offended by that. You know, that
it takes
that,
humility not to respond to it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
React to it, right?
React to it, exactly. is keeping your mouth shut, not showing that outward offense.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, that's
anyway. What God wants us to do. Yeah. We need grace. I mean, you mm-hmm. need grace. And again, I'm amazed. Listen, this walk with God is an intentional walk with God. If you're not abiding and spending time with Jesus, this is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
This is impossible. You have to abide with Jesus. You got to spend time with him every single day. This walk with the Lord is not just get up in the morning and I just receive Jesus Christ in my life and go on your merry ways. No, you have to spend time with him. You have to be in his presence. You got to pray. You got to, you know, you have to be with him 24 hours a day. He's your best friend. You need to soak in him.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, the Bible says that he'll change us from glory to glory. God will begin to transform us. When we become transformed, when we allow God's word to wash over us, we'll be renewed in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What does Romans 12 tell us? I mean, the Bible's so clear on all these things, but George Barna says that only 19% of the church actually spends time reading the Word of God, and only 3% feel personally responsible for their own spiritual development. But listen to what Romans 12 says. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, right, mm-hmm. to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. I didn't offer my body no sacrifice. What are you talking about? You know, I didn't offer my body no sacrifice. He said, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That means a repeated death. You know what I'm saying? It's not a once sacrifice you're over. It's a living sacrifice. You can sacrifice today, tomorrow, hourly. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And he goes on to say in verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. When we defend ourselves, when we fight to be right, when we argue, when we do those type of things, we are conforming to the pattern of this world. Look at the television screen. Look what's happening. There's strife everywhere you go, and it's people continually trying to defend and position themselves or their opinions as the standard. And there's this constant tug of war and distress. Don't you want peace in your home? Don't you want peace in your business? Don't you want peace in your family, in your marriage? Stop defending yourself, right? It says, be transformed. Said, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What happens is we fall to that stinking thinking, and your mind needs to be renewed. Your mind needs to be renewed on the ways of God. You see, you can't conform. You can't wrap yourselves around the pattern of this world, but you have to be renewed in what God's word says. You have to have a new paradigm. Your brain needs to be washed, you know, brainwashed, you know, with right. God's word.
Right.
So that out of the overflow of your heart, which is your daily abiding, which you've been storing in your heart, you can actually speak good things. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The bad man brings the bad things stored up in him, and the evil man brings the evil things stored up. What you've been storing in your heart? If you have no word in your heart, you have not been abiding in the Lord, but you're watching TV, surfing the internet, listening to all kinds of just conversation and stuff, that's what your heart gets filled with.
It's full of darkness.
So what's going to come out?
Darkness.
Darkness.
You garbage can't, in, garbage out.
Garbage in, garbage out. You can't do this. You can't do this apart from abiding with the Lord. And it's going to take great humility for where we're going. I mean, the only safe place is humility and the fear of the Lord. If you don't have the fear of the Lord and you're not humble, everything that raises his head is going to get whacked.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't going to feel good. It's not going to feel good. And we can borrow the experience instead of buying those experiences on our own. We can learn. But I look at Jesus' own example. I mean, when you think about Jesus, who was the spotless Lamb of God, who lived on this earth 33 years, never sinned not once, which the Bible tells us that he was tempted in every way, Hebrews, yet without sin. So he was a high priest that could identify with every single thing that we could have gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 Peter tells us, 2:21, that to this you were called. To this you were called. There's somehow a lie in implanted in our mind somewhere that says that, you know, I don't have to suffer.
Yeah.
I was like, who lied? I mean, where do we get that false mindset that life is not going to have any mm-hmm. any suffering, any pain involved?
Right. And then what Jesus said, he goes, in this life, you will have trouble.
You will. Guaranteed.
Maybe, might, could, would, you will.
Guaranteed.
That's right.
So why do we try to escape these troubles? Listen, if you're going through the storm with Jesus, you're going to make it on the other side. But the storms allow you, they give you the opportunity to, you know, for Jesus to manifest in your life and to see him perform these miracles. Many times people don't see miracles in their life because they're not willing to go through anything. They're trying to defend themselves, trying to put all the safeguards, they're putting all the defenses, putting all the bricks around the wall, and they never see the miraculous. They never see the deliverance. They don't have a testimony of when it was all going down and Jesus stepped in and saved us. It was over.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to be the source of their rescue. And they say, well, thank God we had that credit card. Thank God we had the extra car. Thank God that bonus check came in. Thank God this family member is like, well, wait a second. When all you have is God and he's your first choice, let me tell you something. He can defend you. He can protect you. But that's humility, total dependency upon God and respect for other people. Right? Mm-hmm. And so, in 1 Peter, he says, to this you were called. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bible tells us that Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Why would we be any different? We can redeem suffering, though.
Mm-hmm.
We can redeem it. We can allow it to work for us instead of working against us. So he says that because of this, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So we should be followers of the Lord, learning from his example. Jesus, what did you do? Jesus, what do you say about the situation? I heard what they said, but what do you say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, fear of man is always worried about man's reaction to your action as opposed to God's reaction to your action.
Mm.
Right? And so verse 22 says, he has committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. He was spotless. There was nothing but the truth in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him. I mean, think about that concept that here a holy God who was spotless and pure. What man who has ever walked the face of this earth could ever say that but Jesus?
Mm.
That's what makes him the perfect sacrifice. That's what makes him the spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Is no man could do it. No man was worthy to open the seals but him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes him amazing.
Yeah.
He's God. Fully man, fully God. He came. He did it. And yet they were insulting him. Hurling. The Bible's so poetic in the words that it says. You get those, we talked about how Stephen was stoned with natural stones, but Jesus was stoned with words and accusations. They had hurled insults at him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, how did Jesus respond? When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. How many would have retaliated? Do you know who or would have defended Jesus? Do you know who that is? Do you know who that is? Like, sit down. I think Jesus got this covered. Sit down. Sit right now. He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Do you make threats? Do you retaliate? Do you bow up? Do you got to get your point across? But the Word of God says, instead. That's a powerful word, instead. It means he didn't go this a ways, he went that a ways. Instead, what did, and he didn't do nothing. So people think that when you don't respond, do something, get mad, get them back, say, defend yourself, do something.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk in humility, it seems like you're not doing anything to the natural eye.
Right.
But you are doing something if you're walking in humility. Instead, Jesus did something. What did he do? He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Let me tell you something. That little verse right there, ooh, it's been my friend. He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Listen, all you can do sometimes, all you can do is say, you know, I can't say nothing. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to leave this one with Jesus. I'm going to entrust myself that God knows my heart. He knows the situation. He knows what I've done, what I didn't do. He knows what I thought. He knows what they thought. He knows everything. And however this thing shakes out in the end, I'm going to be okay with it because, listen, God has my back. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. That's the inheritance that you have as a son and a daughter, is that God has your back. When your life belongs to Jesus, no defense is needed. Hang up your legal briefcase. Hang up your paperwork. All the stuff that's all your credentials, all the knowledge that you have to put yourself out there and say, my defense is in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The great defender is going to come. And he's the one who holds the balance of justice in his hands. He's the one that knows everything. And if God allows it, then God allows it. I love the story when David was walking with his men and here's the king and some guy comes and hurls insults at David.
Right.
He's at the king.
Yeah.
And one of his fighting men looks over and David like, you want me to cut his head off? I mean, dude, I can deal with this guy right now. Do you right. want me to deal with this? You know, this foolish man has no idea what he's doing, but it's going to cost him his life. Do you want me to do him in?
Mm-hmm.
And David just looks at him and says, nah. God allowed it. God allowed it. Just leave him alone.
Right.
A prideful man would have said, do you know who I am? I am the king of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I am the king of Israel? David said, nah. God allowed it. And we want to go to that place. We want to be at that place of humility where we can just trust the Lord. We can be in that place where we can say that God is enough. Oftentimes people don't have issues. Your issue is not with other people. Oftentimes your issue is with God. You just don't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't trust them. And let me tell you, if you trust in the Lord, you will see the miraculous in your life. You will see God part waters. You will see God show up in the storm. You will walk through fires and not be burned. You will see situations in your life that only the hand of God can do. But you got to be in the fire. You got to be in the water. You got to be in the midst of it and be out deep. You know, we've talked about that a lot, but many people are not, you know, you're not out deep enough. You're still in the shallow area. You got to be way, way over your head, that you've got no other choice. You've got no other choice but to trust him. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. This is your act of worship. This is the way that you can worship God, is by, listen, the next time your flesh wants to rise up, your chest wants to bow out, and you can give them a piece of your mind, please don't give
put
them a piece.
Put that thing away.
put it back, Pat. Why don't we say put that thing away? Don't give them a piece of your mind, but you receive the mind of Christ. You receive the mind of Christ. Take a pause. Sit back. Say, God, what you want me to do about this? What do you want me to do about this? I know in the flesh what I could do. But Jesus, really, what do you want me to do about this? And I pray for grace to respond. And if you pray those two prayers, let me tell you, God will show up every time. When your life is in the Lord's hand, listen, no defense is needed. Just trust yourself to the Lord. And your life is in the hands of the Lord. You don't need no defense. You can say, my defense is with my attorney, the Lord, right?
That's right.
He's got your back. If you need defending, he will defend you. And if you don't need defending, he will say, you're wrong.
That's right. Shut your mouth.
You're wrong. But you don't defend yourself. You know, there's a place, you know, he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widows. There is a place for defense. There is a place for that. Mm-hmm. But who is the one that has the authority to do that makes all the difference. See, you don't have the right to defend yourself, but God will defend you. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have the authority to judge, but there is a judge. I mean, there is justice. There is justice. There is a judge. But who is worthy to administer justice? The Lord is. It's amazing when we step into a place that we don't need to step into. It's the right thing in the wrong hands. We're not worthy to pick up the justice gavel. Go ahead and drop that right now. You know, mm-hmm. We're not worthy, but justice does need to be served. And the only one that's worthy to carry the justice gavel is the Lord.
That's right.
Defense, you're not worthy, but the Lord is. He can carry it because he's the defender. He's the defender. You know, the Bible says that we need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift us up. But if we do God's job, then he's got to do our job. See, we're supposed to humble ourselves.
Right.
And he will lift us up. But if we get that twisted and we lift us up, we do his job, then that means he's got to do our job. He's got to bring us down. You know, when we step out of our job description, he's got to fill in the gap. He's got to take care of it. So I come to a revelation. You know what I'm saying? A revolutionary revelation. I just want him to do his job. I'll do my job. Okay, what do I humble myself? Okay, all right. I'll let you do what you're gonna do, but I'm not gonna step into his job description. Mm-hmm. And that's what really messes us up when we get outside of our own job description, what we're supposed to be doing. And we start meddling and getting involved in things that we have no business doing. We really have no business. And we can't be surprised of the disastrous fallout if we continue to try to live a life outside of the way that God has prescribed for us to live. And I'm telling you, if you listen to us today on VFN Radio and you listen to this segment, we want to encourage you. Listen, stop what you're doing. Go to iabide.org like now and get you this free simple plan. It doesn't cost you a thing, but I'm telling you, it will encourage you to have a simple plan where you can actually hear God's voice for yourself, write it down, and you can have it forever. Listen, one word from God is better than 10,000 words from any person. Mm-hmm. All you need is one. It'll change your life.
That's right.
Go to iabide.org and request your plan today.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.